The rest of the day, thankfully, goes without incident. Captain Glasseye frowns meaningfully and stands up from the deck, looking at all of his crewmates beginning to recover from this horrid indigo mist that consumed the ship. Coughs, sputters, and looks at the three of you, as you seem to have gotten everyone out of this mess. And he says,
"That was absolutely horrid. Darv, Erla, Min, come into my cabin, please."
Okay.
He heads into his cabin and leaves the door open for you. "Shut the door, Erla."
"Of course."
He sighs and says, "First off, I thank you for your efforts. Without you, we would certainly be drowned in the deep, or worse. I was able to see, although I couldn't move. My limbs felt like they were just frozen. I couldn't speak, I couldn't talk, I couldn't do nothing. All the rest of my crew was the same. But I saw that there was magic. Magic, and that voice calling out from the briny depths. Never heard anything like it. So clearly, there's more afoot here than we first thought. I was suspicious after the Boneless Ones attacked. But this storm and this foul magic confirm it. Someone aboard the Tradewind has ill intentions toward my crew and passengers. Some manner of magical menace. I doubt it's any of my crew. I've known them too long. Ye lot are the only ones stopping things when they go amok. So I'd be much appreciative if ye'd snoop around, find out who's been sabotaging this voyage, and put a quick stop to them."
"We've been doing that for quite some time. Haven't had much success, but I think we have some leads to work with."
"So ye've been knowledgeable about this kind of horrid magics and stuff and hadn't told me?"
"It was really new information, and frankly, you were included among the suspects. So, I mean, we knew something was up with the ship when crew members started dying."
"This whole voyage been cursed since we left Freeport. First, I can't find members of me crew. They've just gone off missing. Perhaps they've just wandered off in Freeport. Next, we face murder, potentially, or a horrid accident. And now this storm and this magic, and of course, the Boneless Ones attack. As if something or someone is out to destroy me or my ship."
"I have a theory that many of these incidents are related. The death of Arsenault, we believe that he was stabbed on deck, attacked, before falling or being thrown overboard. We couldn't discern any motive. Didn't seem to have any enemies. There was nothing to gain by killing him, which makes me think that he was targeted because he was vulnerable and because his absence could be easily attributed to his addiction. Then, the attack of the Boneless Ones. Well, I think it's best we shared with the captain the symbol that we found and the bait trailing behind the ship, which was intended to attract their attention."
Glasseye's brow furrows.
"What symbol?"
Erla reaches into her backpack and produces the original symbol and sort of flattens it out on the captain's desk.
"Similar, but not identical to the markings that appeared when the storm struck. Finally, there was that voice that I'm sure none of us will soon forget. I think that Arsenal's death and the attack by the Boneless Ones and presence of these runes and that noxious vapor during the storm are all related to some evil ritual. They're steps in a process. We've remained one step behind whoever's doing this since we came on board. Perhaps with your cooperation, we can make this investigation a little more formal."
"Well, I'll be more than happy to pay you if you find the one who's trying to sabotage me and me crew. In addition, of course, to what I've already been paying ye as members of me temporary crew."
"I'm sure we won't turn down payment, but I think it's vital to our survival, reaching Breakwater Bay with the ship afloat and all of our skins intact, that we ferret out whichever individual is responsible."
I agree with you there. Have ye any suspects, of course, aside from myself?"
I think I can speak for my companions in saying that, like you, we're inclined to dismiss the crew as suspects, and focusing our attention on our three fellow passengers."
"Well, one of them, I can tell you, that she's in the brig. We found out who she really is, and we ought to stow her in there, because there's a quite a hefty price on her head. After all, wouldn't think that the Tide Razor would be on board as one of the passengers.
I gasp. I'm shocked. Shocked to hear that. When was she put in the brig?
We stowed her in the brig last night.
Before the storm?
Yeah, that's we did. Before the storm.
And she's still there now?
As far as I know.
It's a pretty good alibi.
It doesn't acquit her of nothing. She could have done any of it on the first part of our voyage.
Especially if there's been bait attached to the ship.
Bait?
That could have been done at any point.
There's been a lot of activity here. Trailing bait, stabbing arsenals, carving. How many of those little runes did you find, Erla?
I found two, but I believe there are others. You couldn't conduct a ritual like that with two simple runes.
Carving God knows how many runes on the ship. I find it difficult to believe that no one in the crew saw anything. Could we start there? Could we start with asking the crew if they saw something we didn't?
Aye, of course you can. By all means, see what you can find out.
Okay. Are you guys cool with that?
Yeah. 100%.
Just takes, okay. So I think we just save their asses. Hopefully we have a certain degree of trust at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So isolating them from the other passengers, obviously I would want to ask these questions like in front of the other passengers.
Sure.
But like asking as many members of the crew as we can if they saw Mazarine or Hanno or Mather creating any of those runes or throwing the bait overboard or doing anything else weird mm-hmm. over the past 4 days that like they haven't mentioned up until now. Now would be a really great time to share that.
Fantastic. I'd like each of you to determine who you want to ask questions about to the crew and then make a TN10 communications. And if you have investigation as a focus, you can add that.
I actually do have that. Okay, that is a 13, and I did generate 2 stunt points on that.
Okay, who are you asking about?
I'm most suspicious of Hanno, to be honest, so I'm going to ask about Hanno.
Okay.
Maybe crowd appeal, since I'm speaking to a group. So I'll spend the 2 points on crowd appeal, which basically allows me to get an additional person's input on this.
Okay.
As long as their willpower is equal or less than my communication. So this works if their willpower is 4 or less.
All right, all right. Let's take a look and see if the sailor's willpower is 4 or less. The average sailor's willpower is 0.
Okay. You weak-willed sponges. Listen up. Yeah, so I guess like an extra person chimes in if they know anything.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the sailors sort of, as you're interrogating the group in maybe a game of cards, he sort of pipes up and says,
"Oh, yes, Hanno. Yeah, we saw him. We think he was stabbed. Came down with a large bandage around his arm. Maybe during the bonus one's attack, his arm was all wrapped up. Don't know what that was about. And he was vomiting all over the place during that storm's mist. We had to clean up the sick when we came back down. What else? Timmy, you know anything?
Oi, that I do. We've seen him entering the cargo hold. Yeah, very strange, we don't know why. He's going in and out of the cargo hold. Oh, that's because he has those crates. Yeah, he's been putting a couple crates down there. It looks like he was trying to haul a crate aboard the ship the day before we even set sail. But we couldn't have him do that. Oh, I just didn't think it was that important.
So that's different from the crate that we were helping him with that had all his ceramic stuff in there.
Correct, yeah.
This is an entire day before we even arrived in Breakwater Bay he was trying to get. Well, it could have been the same crate, I guess. But he's been going back down to visit his ship. All right, I thank them. I'm going to thank them for that.
Cool. All right, let's go on to, I guess, Min.
Now that she had a terrible date with Mather, I think she's going to try to chat about him.
Same thing. Please give me a TN10 communications. Do you have investigation as a focus?
I do not.
So just hit me with a communications test.
And I did get a 5.
You come down maybe just after Darv leaves, and like the guys are like playing their card games.
Well, it's good thing no one else is going to disturb our card game, right, guys? Yeah, no, absolutely not.
And then like the door opens, and all of them stare at you like,
oh, fuck.
And I'm like, I got questions.
Yeah, could you just come back a little later, darling? Yeah, we like what you did with the hair. It's very nice and sort of black in edges. I like it, but like not right now.
Darling.
Dear?
I just sailed this ship by myself without your do not darling me. And she just walks out.
How did that go, Min?
It went terrible, Darf. I'm not charming, Darv.
Right.
Erla is our last person to bring in for the investigation here.
Erla will ask to speak to the guard who was looking after Mazarine, if there was a guard on duty.
There wasn't a guard. Mazarine was in the brig, so there's no real need to guard her.
Learning that there wasn't anybody on duty with eyes on Mazarine, I don't pursue it any further.
Are you asking anyone else about either Mazarine or Mather? Since unfortunately Min wasn't able to glean anything from the crew regarding Mather.
I want to speak to the person who outed Mazarine as the Tide Raiser.
Okay, cool. So you ask around the crew. Go ahead and give me a TN10 communications test.
Erla rolled a 14.
Okay, yeah, you do eventually find the member of the crew who was able to discern the identity of Mazarine Vol as the Tide Raiser. And he sort of sits back, leaning back up against the hull of the ship. He says,
"So what of it? So she's the Tide Raiser. I can't wait to collect the bounty."
What made you suspect that she was the Tide Raiser?
To be perfectly honest, I got the idea from Orsinolt before he died. He was the one that actually found out about it.
Interesting. And what did he tell you? That he just recognized her?
I think he did. He saw maybe a wanted poster back in Freeport. And, well, suffice it to say, he was looking at collecting the price on her head, too. Too bad for him.
He didn't tell the captain?
No, he told me. I was his best friend.
Oh, with friends like these.
Excuse me?
Did you tell the captain?
Well, I had to, eventually. I just saw these things happening around the ship, and I thought, well, if we're all going to survive this, the captain's got to find out about it. But I'm not going to die out here.
Fair enough.
Not to mention that she's been saying things to other members of the crew. She doesn't like Captain Glass Eye's management of the ship. Maybe she's looking to take over.
Where were you when Arsenal was attacked?
What do you mean, where was I?
Can anybody account for your whereabouts?
Well, I would assume so. I mean, I was... when he was attacked? I don't know when he was attacked. What are you talking about when he was attacked? The man fell overboard.
I think that, you know, maybe this was your opportunity to take the bounty for yourself.
Are you accusing me something, Gubby?
I'm just asking for your alibi, and if it checks out, we don't have a problem, but,
I didn't realize you were a member of the constabulary.
I'm serving at the command of the captain, and so you'll answer my questions as if Glass Eye were here asking you directly.
Do you have intimidation as a focus?
I have drinking as a focus.
Which is pretty much the same thing.
I mean, it kind of is. Make a communication test.
Here we go. All right, so Erla has rolled a 15 on her communications test.
Okay, that's not bad. He sort of withers away for a second, and he just says, okay, listen. I don't want to start no troubles, all right? I didn't have nothing to do with Arsenal's death. I was up in the crow's nest all night, and I didn't want to say nothing because I fall asleep on duty, okay? Just don't tell the captain.
Understood. That doesn't put you in a particularly advantageous place. We'll be keeping an eye on you. Just watch your step and stay in line, and you shouldn't have a problem. Be available if we need to talk to you again. What was your name?
Johnny Johns.
What's your real name?
That's what everybody in...
That's the worst name I ever heard.
Oh, Joey Jojo.
Okay, Johnny.
Let me see if I can
Joey
grab a...
Jojo Shabadoo.
Hold on, let me see if I can find an actual random crew member. Roll a d6.
At the 4.
His name is Fazbend.
Okay, Fazbend, stay close. You're dismissed.
Right. And then he walks away.
Anything to report, Erla?
Well, it seems like Arsenault was aware that Mazarine was, in fact, the Tide Raiser. I suspect that maybe Arsenault's murder could have been independent of the unnamed Silence's intervention. Maybe it was Mazarine protecting her identity, but that's speculation at this point. Fazbend is somebody we want to keep an eye on. He doesn't have a particularly strong alibi for when Arsenault was attacked. He could have just wanted to keep the bounty for himself, but he's kind of too spineless to be a part of any of this bigger conspiracy.
I agree that does provide Mazarine with a clear motive for killing Arsenault, and she has no alibi to explain her activities during the time of his death, but that is an entirely too, if I may be so bold, reasonable reason to kill someone. It doesn't fit in with the rest of this. I could see her doing that, but not all the rest of this sorcery. No offense. Perhaps we'd better go together and have a word with her. She's kind of a captive audience right now.
Before we do, that voice said something about a sacrifice promised by your emperor? I don't know how to parse that with our suspects.
Well, we could try our do you recognize this symbol trick. Just show it to them and watch their face. See if they give anything away.
I tried that.
With whom?
With Mather.
Let's try it with Mazarine. Maybe we could rule her out.
Yeah, that's a thought.
Yeah, I have an idea for when that moment comes.
Can we go visit Mazarine in the break, Matt?
Yeah, of course. So yeah, as you open the door, you see Mazarine inside this jail cell, sitting on her haunches. And as the three of you enter, she says, great, what do you folks want?
Hell of a morning. Pull up a stool and put it in front of the cell.
Damn storm, I almost thought I was going to toss my cookies.
I brought you some whiskey. I pass it through the bar.
At least good news there. And she grabs the whiskey and takes a swig.
I find nothing settles the stomach better than the whiskey. You could keep the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
The crew knows who you are, I'm afraid. I didn't spill it, but word got out.
Yeah, I can tell. That's why I'm in here.
You heard that voice during the storm?
Sure did.
Have you ever heard anything like that before?
No, I have never heard anything like that before in my life. Although I have seen some things, terrible things. And her face sort of takes on a paler shade. She has this sort of thousand-yard stare. She's clearly remembering something that happened to her. And then she sort of breaks out of it and stares at you again.
The world offers many different varieties of terrible things. I wonder if the ones you saw were of this world or of an otherworldly nature, Mazarine.
What of it?
Well, depending on which it is, might get you out of the cell sooner rather than later.
She stands up and she grips the bars of the cell and she says, listen to me, my friend. There are horrible things in this world, things beyond our understanding. No matter how tough you are, she looks at you, or how smart you are, and she looks at you, Erla, or how fast you are, and she looks at you, Min. They're in your head, and they'll stay there forever.
Thinking of getting a tattoo, a little souvenir of this forge. I wonder what you think of this design. Erla.
At this point, Erla casts Figment with her minor action to create a yard-wide version of this glyph floating in midair with sort of flames coming from the side of it. Really just make an impression and see if it rattles and how it rattles Mazarine.
I think we'd all kind of like to gauge Mazarine's reaction when Erla does that.
Go ahead and make a perception empathy test. If you have empathy as a focus, if not, you can just make a perception test.
Darv with a 19 and generating 6 stunt points.
Hell yeah.
Ooh. Min with a 9.
Erla with a 14.
Erla, you stare up at Mazarine, her eyes open slightly. Darv, you are certain that Mazarine has seen this symbol before, and she is terrified of it.
I'm going to spend 5 points on manipulate. They must use your next major action or moment of narrative time to do something else agreed upon by you and the GM.
Okay.
And then I've got an extra point. I'm going to use that one to impress, which will just give me a +1 on my next social test involving her. But I'm going to say to her, you know what this is?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Tell me.
It's the mark of the unnameable silence.
Where have you seen it before?
I've seen it on treasures pulled from the deep. I've seen it marked in bloody ribbons on members of crews that have been sunk by horrid creatures from the depths. I've seen it in blood on the floors of and she sort of breaks down.
All
and
right.
Drops
All
down
right.
to the floor.
All right. I rise to my feet. I'm going to do what I can to get you out of this cell, Mazarine. I think that things are very quickly going to come to a head. I can feel a sort of net closing around this ship. I'm able to get you out. This is where I want to try to use my manipulate stunt. I'd like to count on your help when that crisis comes.
She nods slowly.
Keep the bottle. I say to Min and Erla, I think we're done here.
Should we ask her about the coin?
She says, what coin?
This one. Min pulls out the coin that Hanno gave her. Have you ever seen any design like this?
I'm going to have her make a intelligence historical lore test.
Ooh.
She got a 13, and that is exactly what she needed. She looks at the coin and she says, "Where did you get this?"
Another passenger gave it to us.
Who?
Hanno.
Interesting.
Why?
She points the side of the coin that has the flayed snake head on it at you, and she says, "This is a very old coin. This coin is from an ancient empire called the Inmerk Empire. It was ruled by, at least the legend says, the mortal offspring of demons from the ocean." But I don't believe in that shit.
Hey, you told us more about it than we knew. Is it in any way connected with the Unnameable Silence? Do they go together?
I'm going to have her make another test based on that question, which is an intelligence test that she doesn't have a focus in, called religious lore. So let me just see if she can make just a bare intelligence test. The TN for this one is 15.
Ooh.
She got a 13. So unfortunately, she says, "I don't know. To be honest, I'm not sure of the connection, but if you found somebody with more religious aptitude than me, maybe you could find out more."
That's good to know. Thank you.
She flips the coin back to you.
Min catches it and puts it away.
I'd like to head back over to the captain.
Okay.
I say, "Captain, I'd like Mazarine Vol released."
"What?"
"We'll take responsibility. I won't let her out of our sight, but I think she may be of assistance. We're very close to finding something."
"She's a pirate, Darv."
"As I said, I'll take responsibility."
Okay, make a communications. Do you have persuasion as a focus?
I do.
Superb, use it. Say TN for this one is 15.
I got a 22 with 6 more stunt points.
Good gracious.
Oh,
good gracious.
Yeah. Where were these rolls when we were trying to keep the ship from sinking?
This is my thing. My thing is not ships. My thing is talking.
Yeah, that's fair. Can't talk a ship out of a storm.
Okay, I'm going to go 4 sway.
Mm-hmm.
Shift his attitude a step in my direction.
Okay.
And I'll take the rest on impress. So if I have to make another test with him, I'll get a +2 to it.
Cool.
He sighs and he says, "Well, I never thought I'd see the day that I'd be letting a pirate out of me brig to help with a murder investigation or fighting against some kind of dark magic. If you can take responsibility for anything that woman does, then I'll have your head if she does something real rotten, I can tell you that, Darv."
I gulp.
"Doesn't matter if we're of the same kin, you hear?"
"I get it, sir. Guess we'll have to roll the dice on this one and hope I'm right."
"Make it quick." And then he says, "Get out of the cabin."
Does he give me keys or something?
Yeah, he gives you a key to the brig.
Okay, let's go back over to the brig, and I say, "You're on parole, Mazarine." I unlock the door.
Wow, that was quick.
"Stick close to us. Erla, I think it's time to smash some more plates."
Oh, speaking my language. Yeah, let's open everything this dimwit brought onto the ship.
Yes, especially, I want to know if he's got another crate or if that's the same crate that we were dealing with that the other crew saw the day before we boarded. So can we go back down to, I forget where Erla found his crate.
Erla found his crate in the cargo section of the ship, which is right in the middle of the ship.
Hey, Matt, while we're walking around, can I keep my eyes peeled for glyphs?
Absolutely. You can make perception tests in the different areas that you go.
Can I use my seeing focus for that?
Absolutely.
Awesome. First one is a 20, and it also generated 3 stun points.
On the deck of the ship, you look around briefly. You don't see any glyphs that have been left behind. There was one, obviously, that was on the mast that Erla scratched out, but you don't see anything here while you're looking around.
Okay, and then I guess for those 3 stun points, I'll take extra information when we are digging through the boxes.
Okay, we will get to that when you get to that. So Erla, you descend with Darv, Mazarine following, and then Min taking up the rear. When you get down to the cargo level, you see that there are, in fact, a couple of crates that are pushed up against the corners of the ship. Many of them have been strapped to the walls of the side of the ship. But you also see, to the north side of the cargo area, you see Hanno. And Hanno is looking at what you assume to be his crate. And as you come down the stairs, he looks at the four of you. "Oh, hi. What's going on, guys?"
"Morning, Hanno. Just tying up a few loose ends. We're concerned, as I'm sure you are too, about, well, the voice we all heard earlier, the horrible poisonous mist."
"Yes. I mean, that's, yeah. I mean, oh, it was really bad. I was vomiting all over the place. It was horrible."
"I'm sure that you were. Very unpleasant business. So we need to make sure that there's nothing unsafe down here. Someone might have brought aboard, perhaps accidentally. We're going to have to search your shit, Hanno.
What? Didn't you already search my stuff? You did that already. I mean, it's up to you. You want to look through it? Be all. Yes. Fine. No worries.
Thank you very much. This will only take a few moments. You said he's looking at a crate.
Yes.
Do I see another? Like, are there two here?
There are two, yes.
Okay. So somebody should watch him, I think, while we're doing this.
Maybe, Tall, you should watch him because you're the one who has the good communication.
Okay, so you guys want to search the crates and I'll watch Hanno?
Yeah, my perception is really good for looking, but not for, like, understanding.
And then I can sort of fill in with sort of the arcane knowledge if we see anything that looks sort of suspicious.
I'm going to keep my eye on him and let Min and Erla search the stuff.
Should I do a perception seeing roll?
Yeah, you can do a perception searching roll specifically.
Oh, okay. So I don't have that focus. So I'll just do a straight perception. Min got an 11.
You open the crate. Hanno looks at you like, what the hell's going on? And you open up the crate. Again, you see at the top level of the crate, there's a whole bunch of pieces of ceramics and plates.
Could I, because I have extra information, is there anything that I, like, notice that's different about the crate, or?
They're porcelain padded by textiles. You see the textiles are sort of old and wrapped around all these porcelain dishes.
I am going to look at Hanno and be like, I got to go through it. I'm sorry.
What do you mean? No. Stop, please. That's my stuff. I took a long time to put all my stuff in there. That's not really nice.
What's the oldest piece of flatware you have, you've brought on this ship?
I honestly don't know. My parents packed all of this stuff for me. Erla, you remember we had this talk about you all being nice to me? I don't find it to be very nice. I'm going to have to talk to the captain.
Listen, you were seizing and throwing up, yeah?
Yeah.
So do you want that to happen again?
Are you threatening me, Min?
Hold on.
No,
hold on, everyone.
I'm telling you is we gotta look to make sure that everyone stays safe.
It was very clear, and he sort of starts to get a little agitated as he talks to Min. He says, excuse me, it was very clear that the reason why everybody was seizing and throwing up was because of that horrible indigo mist. And if you're trying to tell me that there's something inside of my crate that's causing this whole voyage to go sideways, then I am going to have a very big problem with you.
Can you tell me that there's not?
Let's lower the temperature a little bit. Hanno, do you remember the first day we came aboard? I warned you that people might be taking advantage of you, your generosity, dare I say it, naivete?
I don't know why you would say things like that. It's, but I yes, I do remember that.
I'm afraid that it's possible that someone planted something on you or your belongings without your permission. Do you understand? No one's accusing you of anything, Hanno. We just want to make sure there's nothing unsafe in here. I point towards the crates.
Make a persuasion test. Communications persuasion.
That is a 17 with 5 stunt points.
What do you want to do with those stunt points? This is a success.
I got 5. I'm going to go with pay attention for 3. Your interaction reveals information about your target beyond even what you might have been looking for. Mm. If you're pursuing an investigation, you gain an additional lead.
You didn't pick this up before, but because you're so close to Hanno, you notice that Hanno has this sort of a floral scent to him, like almost like he's been using perfume.
Okay, I've got 2 more. I'm going to use the remaining 2 for impress, which will give me a +2 on my next social test involving him. Hanno, are you using a new cologne?
He sort of sniffs himself. Yes, it's like most ships, the trade wind smells, so I'd rather not stink like fish all day long.
I see. I look back towards Min and Erla. Anything?
Let's just get in these crates. This guy is... I never trusted him.
Excuse me? His attitude towards you, Erla, changes quite drastically. Erla, I thought we were friends.
What made you think that, exactly?
Because of the way that you treated me, Erla. You bandaged my arm.
Yes, I gave you medical attention when I pitied you.
Pity? Pity. And his eyes begin to well up with tears.
Pity?
Guys are horrible people! And Hanno begins to walk away from you all.
No.
That's it. Let him go. Let's see what's in the box.
He goes down into the bilge. You just hear him crying.
You know, that's the second VIP that we make cry collectively.
Good job, guys.
It's a gift.
One more to go.
Yeah, since he's gone too, I will also help search the thing then.
All right.
And also, Matt, could I also just do a quick perception check for glyphs?
Sure. Perception test.
Okay, that is a 17 with a total of 6 stunt points.
Min, you do not see any glyphs in the cargo hold. Darv, you see inside the crate, beyond the pieces of flatware and porcelain, that there's sort of a second layer underneath it. There's stuff obviously underneath that's being packed into that crate.
Here we are. Yeah, clear up the porcelain and the flatware. Did you get this far down last time, Erla?
No, I didn't. Erla will look for patterns that evoke arcane origins in what we find.
I'm gonna give you 3 assist points for that, and Darv, I'm gonna give you 3 also for my stunt.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I start searching through this new section then.
The new section reveals various magical reagents, which you would expect that based on Pano's ancestry and position within his family's company, that would make sense. There are a variety of different kinds of herbs and plant leaves and magical crystals, for example, things probably used in magical research and the cultivation of arcane power, as any mage would have.
Is that all?
You want to keep digging?
Oh, yeah.
Make another perception test.
I take everything out of this.
Okay, make another perception test.
That is a 12, and I'll go ahead and add the 3 points that Min just gave me, so a 15.
Okay. So you take out all of these magical reagents, start like digging through it. You find underneath a sizable leather sack, as well as a smaller pouch.
I hand the little pouch to Erla, and I open the sack.
As you open the sack, a pungent smell hits your nostrils, and you see that there are hundreds of different types of plant leaves and resins and other things that have a sort of acrid smell. Do you have, natural? Let me just check to see if any of you folks have.
It's a lore thing, natural
it's not
lore.
I don't know. Natural lore,
yeah,
as an intelligence.
No, I could make a straight intelligence check, but
you
I don't.
You could make an intelligence check,
That is a 15.
Hell yeah. Without knowing their sources, you are confident that the material inside this sack are poisonous plant leaves and distilled venoms and toxins.
What's in the pouch, Erla?
Erla will very carefully open the pouch and look inside.
There are 10 gold pieces. As you look at them, you see that they are exactly the same as the single gold piece that you have in your possession with the sigil of the Inmerk Empire. These vintage gold coins.
Anything else in the crate?
Please make a final perception test.
This is a 12.
That's satisfactory. Underneath the sack and the pouch, there is a single piece of parchment on the bottom of the crate. It is identical to the piece of parchment found in the fishing trap, except that it has the same 4 lines scrawled over and over and over again around the symbol of the unnameable silence. And it says, "Feed the grave. Feed the servant. Feed the eye. Sate the master." And there are childish drawings of lightning bolts and boneless ones filling the marginalia.
Erla, did you check the bilge for symbols?
No, actually,
fuck.
I haven't.
Okay, I pull out my master sword and I charge downstairs after where he. That's where he just went.
Went
right?
Down as the bilge.
Yeah. Okay. I'm running down there.
Okay. Min, Erla, what do you guys do? Mazarine's like, what is happening? What is happening?
I say, Mazarine, I'm calling it in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Min's got the trident out and she's running. Can I run another perception seeing test for that?
Sure. You head down the stairs. Make your perception seeing test.
That is a 16.
You do not see glyphs down here. This is the first time you've been down here, Min. You see that there is about a foot or a foot and a half of water that is encompassing the entirety of this level of the ship. What you do spot, however, is that in the back of the ship, no longer crying, is Hanno Rettelwen. And as the 4 of you rush down, he turns. As he turns, you see that the scrawny figure of Hanno Rettelwen strikes a somewhat desperate pose as he is standing in the frigid, knee-deep green waters of the bilge. Behind him, a small brass cauldron sits with its opening wedged against the hull behind him, oozing bright red slime. He brandishes a curved knife, and in the dim light, you see that the pupils in his eyes dilate into inhuman slits.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yes, come to me. Come to your final fate. So many preparations, and now the ritual concludes with your blood.
His mouth extends into an inhuman maw filled with shark-like teeth. His pale flesh twists and warps with glowing glyphs which burn themselves into his skin. The water at his feet begins to churn and bubble.
Soon, the unnameable silence shall know my name. He will give me peace from the terrible din of life, and I will rule over your silent souls once I claim them for his glory.
Bloated figures, the bodies of the missing crew, rise from the foul waters between you and the contorted, shark-faced thing that was once Hanno.
Anoint my royal body with their blood,
he says to the dead, and they shuffle forward. And we're going to ask you all to roll initiative.
Tal Aviaser from Cast Party here, and we hope you're enjoying episode 4, the finale of Podcast Party Fantasy Age. This is the second of three miniseries we're presenting in partnership with Green Ronin Publishing. The show will be back shortly for the second part. You can check out all the systems we're playing, the Expanse role-playing game, Fantasy Age, and Dragon Age at greenronin.com. And you can learn more about Green Ronin's 25 years of TTRPG publishing at atomicthinktank.com. If you're a member of our Patreon at the hero level and above, you're listening to this episode 1 week earlier than the general public, and we thank you so much for your support. If you'd like early access to the podcast, as well as downloadable TTRPG content created by us, please join Cast Party's Patreon. I will include a link in the show notes. And if you really like us, you can join at the champion level, like James Bowie, Robert Rocky, Jerry Corliss, and John Marku White, and get a special shout-out on this show. Cast Party's professional game masters are available to hire for online games. We have games for kids as well as adults, and our DMs can run almost any of the official Dungeons & Dragons adventures, as well as other systems like Fantasy Age. Details at cast-party.com. As always, we're offering monthly free adventures with our game masters. These free games fill up quickly, so if you'd like to grab a spot, you should join our email list or our Discord server. Links to both can be found at cast-party.com. Do you ever feel like you have a great visual picture in your head, but you need a little help putting it into words? Well, with a subscription to Describe, you can access thousands of descriptions of monsters, spells, locations, and more, as well as maps, music, and sound effects to enhance your games. Only at Describe.com. That's DScryb.com. Would you like 10% off that subscription? Follow the link in the show notes and use the discount code CASTPARTY, all one word, all caps, to save 10% on your first subscription. If you enjoy Podcast Party, please follow the show, rate us, and leave us a review, and join us on Patreon and Discord. We'd love to hear from you. Message us on social media, or email us at info@cast-party.com. Follow us on Facebook at CastPartyDND, or on Blue Sky at CastParty. Thanks very much for listening, and now back to our adventure. Stop at the foot of the stairs with my jaw hanging open. This is not what I expected.
Mazarine looks at Hanno and is absolutely dumbstruck. She sort of like loses her resolve and she begins to shake and tremble.
No, not them.
So she's going to roll initiative with a penalty. Mazarine got a 12. What about the rest of y'all?
Darv got a 10.
Min rolled a 13.
And Erla rolled an 8.
Hanno got a 12. And these walking corpses got a 10. Min is first in the order.
Min already has her trident out. I'm going for Hanno. I'm going to move 16 yards forward. And then I'm going to stab Hanno with my trident. So that is a 16 to hit.
Yeah, that hits his defense, absolutely.
It also generated 5 stunt points, so...
Nice.
Yeah, so damage-wise, he's going to take 8 points of damage.
He has armor, so he's actually only going to take 4.
But because I have my warrior stunt, I'm going to use Storm of Strikes. So I'm going to use all 5 stunt points for that. So I'm going to apply my attack roll to a number of additional targets equal to my dex. which is two. So I'm going to get the two undead on the right side.
Okay, so you just like swing the trident around after stabbing Hanno and swing it and lance out at the corpse to your immediate east and the one to the southeast.
Yes, so they are also going to take 8 points of damage.
Do you have to make a test against them or they just immediately take the damage?
No, they just immediately take it.
Holy shit, that's awesome. Okay, well the corpses themselves also have armor in that their skin has become hardened in their rigor mortis, so they will only take four.
You get four and you get four and that's it. Okay, I'm staying where I'm at.
It is now Hanno's turn. His hands come out and you see he has this sort of strange scepter made out of a sort of a bright gold material with all these kind of strange sigils and symbols on it, and he brandishes it in front of him, and as he does so it begins to sort of glow. Like his arm glows with a strange indigo light, and it travels down his arm, and he casts a spell, and it's called Hands of Fate. That is a success. So when he casts this spell, he gets a total bonus equal to his stunt die, which was a 5, plus 1, which is 6. For the remainder of this encounter, he can give a part or all of this bonus to an ally within 20 yards of him if it would make one of their failed ability tests or attack rolls into a success. So for example, if an ally failed a test by 2, Hanno could give them 2 of his total bonus of 6 to make that test into a success. As his minor action, he will stagger backwards to the very rear of the ship. As he moves backwards, Min, you are able to see that behind him there was this horrible bubbling cauldron, which is seething with some kind of reddish-purple slime. That is his turn. It's Mazarine's turn. So she will move six squares to her south, and she will attack this undead corpse with her cutlass. That is a 14, which will hit. Yes, the defense of these creatures is certainly under 14. She will do 13 damage.
Ooh.
She just slices across this thing's chest. She realizes that it sort of gets stuck in one of this creature's sides, and she just yanks it free. All this horrible seaweed just spills out, and she looks in horror at Hanno. Now, that 13 is mitigated by the creature's armor, so she actually only did 9 points of damage. And that is Mazarine's turn. It is now the corpse's turn. So the corpses will converge on their nearest target, and that is Min and Mazarine. So Mazarine will have 2 corpses attacking her, and Min, you will have 2 corpses attacking you. They will attempt to claw at you both. The first one will miss, I assume, with a 6.
That's a miss.
And the second one will miss with a 9, I also assume.
Nice.
Miss.
They will then attack Mazarine. An 11. She has a defense of 13. Yeah, she'll block that thing's attack with her cutlass, and then the second one will come in. Oh, that one will hit. That's an 18 to hit. And that will generate 6 stunt points as well. 6 stunt points will enable them to use lethal blow. 5 stunt points out of the 6. That will be an additional 2d6 damage from what they already did. Ooh. So the damage on this claw plus the lethal blow is 3d6 plus 2 damage. That is 15 points of damage against Mazarine. Now, Mazarine as well has armor, so that mitigates the 15 to an 11. That's their turn. Darv, you're next.
There's only one walking corpse that's really close enough for Darv to reach. It's next to both Min and Mazarine. So I charge across the hole, bellowing. That's my minor action. And I will swing my bastard sword at that corpse. That is a 10.
A 10 is enough.
Okay, and I actually do generate 1 stunt point. Again, I'm going to use my envoy thing, which is that if I generate a stunt point, I get a stunt point for someone else. This time I will pass 1 stunt point to Min, so Min will have a stunt point on her next turn.
Thanks, Darv.
And for my own 1-point stunt, I will skirmish. I'm going to shove the corpse 2 yards to the east, Matt.
Okay, so you will shove it 2 yards to the east. It sort of stumbles clumsily and staggers into the brackish water.
Great, and I do have 2 yards of movement left, so I will step in to fill the gap that I've created just to get it off of Mazarine. I did 13 points of damage.
Mitigated by their armor, that is 9 points of damage.
I will use Dazzle. I will dazzle that walking corpse. It is dazzled if its will is less than 4. It's an envoy ability that I have.
Oh, okay. Tell us what that does.
Yeah, so it doesn't work unless its willpower has got to be less than my communication.
Its willpower is one.
Okay, so it does work. I have a +2 to defense against that creature.
Okay, just that one
just
creature.
Just that creature. The creature that I use Dazzle on, my armor is 2 higher against that creature. That's it.
All right, Erla.
Erla will crouch, steady her aim as a minor action, and cast Arcane Blast on the first corpse that we damaged, so the one directly on Min. 13 plus 1 with my aim, 14 altogether.
That will hit, absolutely.
Rolling for damage with my improved damage. I leveled up my willpower. 5 points of damage.
5 points mitigated by the armor, because this is not penetrating damage. That is only 1 point of damage, sir. Unfortunately.
Fair enough. That's my turn.
Back to the top of the order, Min.
If I move diagonally 1 square over, is that going to provoke an attack?
There's no such thing.
There's no opportunity attacks in Fantasy.
Boy, do I love that. Okay, so I'm going to move 2 yards to the left so that I can engage with Hanno again. And I am going to, once again, try to stab him with my trident. Hey, that is an 18 to hit.
Yeah, that'll hit.
Okay, we love to see it. So that is 11 points of damage.
Woof. Okay, mitigated by his armor, that is 7 points of damage.
Min, for what it's worth, you do have 1 stunt point to use here.
Good point.
Oh, right, I have 1 stunt point. I think I'll probably use Stay Aware. I can make a TN11 perception test with the focus of my choice, so I think it will be seeing. And then if I succeed, the GM may either make me aware of some battlefield situation that has so far escaped my notice, or give me a +1 bonus to the next test I make. So I need to make the perception test.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that is a 13.
I think that's a success based on what you just said.
It is, because it was a TN of 11.
There's something really, really off-putting about what is in this cauldron. It's seething. It's sort of bubbling over the edges. It looks extremely volatile.
So I'm just going to yell, "Hey, everyone, it looks like the cauldron's going to blow." So everyone knows what I know.
Anything else, Ben?
That's it for me.
It is now Hanno's turn. Hanno doesn't like getting slashed by this trident. Brandishing this scepter and attempt to smash you with it. That is a 13 to hit.
That hits.
Oh, fuck.
Barely.
And it generated 4 stunt points, too. As the scepter slams into you, and it does 12 damage, mitigated by your armor, of course, you see his face split in half, and his jaw unhinges, and he takes a jump out of you.
Oh, if we're playing the teeth game, Hanno,
he misses
you. I'm gonna win.
He just snaps the air with an 11. He missed you.
You will die. My master will suck your soul from the marrow of your bones.
That is Hanno's turn. It is Mazarine's turn. Mazarine will continue her assault against this corpse in front of her. So she will make her attack with the cutlass, which will hit. It's 12 to hit, generates 2 stunt points, and she will turn those stunt points into a mighty blow, which will generate additional damage. And that will do, with the mighty blow, 14 damage. Mitigated by the armor, that is 10 damage to this creature.
Still up, huh?
It is still up. It is now the corpse's turn. This one here that's been dazzled by you, it can still attack you, correct, Arv?
I'm just better at defending against it, but it can still attack.
Okay, it will, in fact, claw you. That is a 12 to hit.
No, and again, that would have hit me, except that it's dazzled, so it needs a 14.
Awesome. Nice. The other ones will attack the creatures closest to them. A corpse will sort of shamble up to Darv and also attack you, and then one will attack Mazarine, one will attack Min. That is a 7 against you, Darv, which will miss. A 10 against Mazarine, which will miss. And a 12 against Min, which I assume will miss.
So that's target for me.
Oh, goddammit. Well, it generates no stunt points. So all it does in terms of damage is 7 damage, mitigated by your armor.
Okay, so that's 3.
It's now Darv's turn.
I'm going to try to finish off the badly wounded corpse next to Mazarine. That is an 11.
That will hit.
For 10 damage.
Reduced, again, by 4 to 6, but that is enough to destroy it.
Yay!
Falls back into the bilge, splashes in, does not move.
A free action, I'm just going to re-dazzle the dazzled one on my left. And for my minor action, I am going to guard up.
Erla.
Erla will use her movement to saddle up next to Mazarine and Darv, and then ask Darv, your weapon or your armor?
Best offense is a good defense, and vice versa. My sword.
As you hold the hilt out to Erla for a second, she grabs it, closes her eyes, and bursts a sort of arcane energy, enchants it, and I just cast Enchant Weapon. Weapon gets +1 bonus to attack and damage rolls until end of encounter. Damage counts as magical.
If I'm not mistaken, I think with that, you still have to make the test for it,
let's
right?
Let's do it. Yes, it's a 10. 14.
Without a hitch. Costs you 4 magic points, but you're good to go.
Sometimes things become possible if we want them bad enough.
+1 to attack and damage rolls.
Thank you.
And that's my major and minor.
Awesome. Min.
I'm going to try to shove Hanno into his boiling pot of disaster.
Yes. Yes. I love it.
You want to shove him into it. Okay.
Yeah, I want to shove it. So that would be an unarmed attack, yeah?
As you grab Hanno, or attempt to grab Hanno, and shove him into the cauldron, I would like you to make an intelligence test.
Oh, no. I'm very bad at this.
This is a mechanical, are you sure?
Yeah.
Matt, I rolled a 3.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Min.
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
That's a 14.
That will hit with your unarmed attack. How much damage do you do?
I do 9 points of damage.
Okay. Mitigated by his armor, that is 5. And I think that you got him. And you shove him into the cauldron. As you shove Hanno into the cauldron, his eyes go wide. He's like, no, no! And there is a kinetic slap as Hanno goes face first into this cauldron. When you slam Hanno's head into the cauldron, it turns from purple to red. And Hanno smiles.
Okay.
Hanno will strike out at you with his scepter. That's a 15 to hit.
That'll hit.
It did not generate any stunt points. All he will do is attack you and hit you, and he does 8 points of damage.
Mitigated to 4.
Mazarine, meanwhile, starts to try to carve her way through. She will attack the corpse next to her. A 19 to hit, which will absolutely hit. No stunt points, but she does 15 points of damage. Mitigated by their armor, that is 11 points. That's her turn. It's now the corpse's turn. The corpses, of which there are 3 left, they're going to try to defend their master. And so they're going to overwhelm Min. And all 3 of them will attack you, Min.
Okay, let's go.
First attack, an 11.
Fail.
Now, they would fail, except for the fact that Hanno cast that spell. He has bonus points.
Fucking Hanno.
He has 6 bonus points from that stunt die that he hasn't used yet. And your defense, if I'm not mistaken, Min, is a 12. So he uses 1 of those 6 points to turn that failure into a success, which does 8 points of damage.
Ooh.
The second one attacks, a 15.
That'll hit.
8 more points of damage. And a 12 on the money. Mm-hmm. 3 points of damage.
Will that be no damage because my armor is 4?
I believe so, yes, that's correct.
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Okay.
No damage, it just scrapes across your armor.
Min's not looking her best.
Okay.
She wouldn't want to go on a date like this.
Mm-hmm.
But she's on her feet, and she's still fighting.
Darv, you're up.
Okay, I pursue the corpses that have swarmed Min, and I want to get behind the one that I just saw Mazarine hit pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's my minor action to get over to it, and I swing at it with my bastard sword. 12.
12 hits?
6 damage.
Down to 2.
And I will dazzle that one.
Oh, so you can dazzle more than 1. That's cool as hell.
No. So I'm dazzling every turn, and it only lasts that turn.
I see.
So the other guy's not dazzled anymore.
Okay, very good.
And that's it for me.
Erla.
Erla will look at Hanno and try to get his attention and just start spouting progressively louder and more violent magical incantations at him in order to disorient him. That is a test against his willpower. I will cast the spell.
So he rolls willpower against yours, is that correct? So he will roll willpower, and let's see if he goes over your spell power, which is 13. So he rolls on the willpower a 10.
Yes.
Hanno is slowed and takes a -2 penalty to tests other than those affected by being slowed, which is everybody else. And he can make a test at the start of each of your turns to shake it off. And that costs you 4 magic points.
I'll pick those off. And then I will just guard with my minor action.
Min.
Okay, I am gonna stab him with a trident. So that is a 14 to hit.
A 14 will hit. By the way, the slowed condition drops him in initiative by 3.
Ooh, I love that.
Nice. So he goes from a 12 to a 9.
That's great. He's gonna take 9 points of damage. And I also generated 2 stunt points. I think I'm going to threaten him. We're making an opposed strength intimidation test versus their willpower test. And if I win, the enemy cannot use their next major action to attack or otherwise try to harm anyone except me.
It sounds like he's doing a willpower test, you're doing an intimidation test. Whoever's higher wins.
Yes. So I'm going to do strength roll. Okay, so that is a total of 16. And it also, it generated another stun point.
He failed against your strength test. His willpower was only an 8.
So I'm going to say to Hanno, you can't hit anything with that stupid weapon. And you're useless. So now he can't attack anyone except for me. And also, I have an additional 1 stun point from that. So I am going to counter my enemy's trick. So until my next turn, any foe using a basic combat stunt or warrior stunt against me must pay 1 stun point to affect me before spending the other stun points on those stunts.
Great.
Cool. And that's it for me.
Mazarine will continue trying to carve her way through these corpses here. She hits, generates 3 stun points, and uses 3 of them for a mighty blow, doing 18 points of damage. Jesus. She's just cut through this thing with her cutlass and then yanks it out. Its thing is basically separated in 2 pieces, but it's still going. The corpses now, it's their turn. They will continue their attack on Min. 12 Min.
That hits.
5 damage. 11. Would have missed, except for the fact that Hanno still has this spell going. He uses 1 of the remaining 5 to turn it into a hit.
Ugh.
6 more damage. And then the third one, a 5, which misses you entirely, and there ain't no way that can become a success.
Nope.
That's their turn. Darv.
I've got 2 walking corpses in front of me. Can I tell which looks the more damaged?
The one to your direct west.
I will use minor action aim and take a swing at that one. So that is an 11 plus 1 is 12.
Absolutely.
8 damage.
Minus 4 is 4 damage. This thing looks like it's on the verge of falling apart, but it is not yet down.
And I redazzle it.
It is redazzled.
That's my turn.
It is Hano's turn. Hanno looks like he's on the verge of dropping himself. He sort of gasps, he staggers, and then he says,
"For the unnamed of silence!"
And then he swings his horrible scepter at Min. 14 to hit.
That'll hit.
12 damage.
Ooh, Min is looking rough.
Hanno looks back and forth between you, Min, and this pulsating red cauldron, and he says,
"You'll have to kill me."
I'm planning on it.
Erla.
Erla will aim and fire an arcane blast at the dazzled corpse. That is a 12 to
12
hit.
12 hits.
8 points of damage.
8 damage is enough to destroy it.
Woo.
That's my turn.
Min.
Let's go with the trident again. Here we go.
Okay.
On Hanno, obviously. Mm-hmm. So that is a 20 to hit.
Oh, yes, indeed.
That is 7 points of damage.
So 7 points of damage, mitigated by his armor, is 3.
Unfortunately.
No, fortunately. Because Hanno only had 3 hit points.
Yeah.
So, nice. Min, tell me how Hanno bites it.
Yeah, no, Min just takes her trident and shoves it straight through his sternum and pins him to the back wall.
Oh, damn.
I love it.
Hanno gasps as this trident goes through his body. All of the sigils along his arms and torso sort of sputter and then fade, and then the light goes out of his eyes. And we are out of combat. As he dies, these corpses turn back into their true dead forms and fall into the briny green water.
Well done, Min.
Mazarine collapses for a second, and she's like, "Oh my god, what were those things?"
Well, they're dead.
What do you guys want to do about this cauldron of stuff?
Erla moves close to it and is looking for any runes that she can sort of deactivate.
Yeah, make an intelligence arcane lore check.
That is a 16.
Yeah, you know what this shit is. It's commonly known as blasting gel. It doesn't react well to bullets, as someone once said. So
I need to get this off the ship. How big is the cauldron, Matt?
It's about 2 yards wide.
Can we pick it up like Adam West in the Batman movie and run it up?
Between the three of you grabbing and slow... Oh, well, of course, in Mazarine, the four of you, you're able to slowly and gently leverage this thing up the stairs.
Up
you
three see, decks? Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, the crew's like, what is that? Oh, my God, what is that? Yeah, and then as you guys reach the top deck of the ship...
Just chuck it.
You just chuck it overboard, and it fizzles into the ocean and dissipates.
Hano. I knew it. Didn't trust that guy for a second.
Captain, the threat to the ship was Hano.
Who knew? A young lad like that could be so horrid a creature on the inside.
Point to Erla. Erla knew.
What are you gonna do?
Well, it looks like you've got a burgeoning career in investigations then, Mikobi lass.
Couldn't have done it without the help of my assistants, Darv and Min.
Indeed.
Min is still bleeding out.
Yeah, I'll take the heel action on Min. Maybe the start of a beautiful friendship, assuming that Min doesn't bleed out right here on the deck.
Or the end of one.
Garrig, in a very sort of Arnold Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers way, grasps one of your arms and says,
"Aye, you've shown yourselves to be bold and resourceful. You know, 20 years ago, I'd have been able to help you. I've actually started feeling the age in me bones slowing down, maybe too much. I've been thinking for some time that maybe the Tradewind needs a new set of masters. And if ye need a sturdy ship, wherever ye be going after the tales that I'm sure you'll be telling in Breakwater Bay, she's yours if you promise to take as good care of the crew as you have so far. And ye pay off some of the debts and answer certain promises we and she are laden with still."
Seems like you've got your berth, Min.
Yeah, it does.
You don't need to accept or reject me offer. Not right now. Listen, we still have a day's travel to Breakwater Bay. I'm sure you have things to do there.
I know a good offer when I hear one. I turn to Min and I say, "Captain Min."
I can't do it without your brain, Stark. And I can't do it without all of Erla's incredible intuition and confidence.
I walk up to the edge of the railing and I look out over the water where the pauldron has just disappeared into the depths. "We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all of our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. Through the unknown remembered gate, when the last of Earth left to discover is that which was the beginning, the source of the longest river, the voice of the hidden waterfall, and the children in the apple tree, not known, because not looked for, but heard, half heard, in the stillness between two waves of the sea."
I half heard what that was about, and I didn't like it.
As the three of you stand aboard the deck of the ship with Captain Garrick smiling a look of satisfaction at you all, you all look out into the ocean knowing that your futures, in whatever direction you decide, lie ahead of you. On the distant horizon, a very small edge of green land, perhaps 50, 60 miles away on the horizon, indicates that your futures may be coming sooner than you think. And I think that is where we end our adventures with Fantasy Age.
Yay! Yay! Thank you, Matt. That was
Thanks,
awesome.
Matt. That was
yeah,
a blast.
Really
that was
good.
Fantastic, guys. Cool. I'm super happy about that.
Yeah, yeah, great job, everybody. Thanks for listening to the finale of Podcast Party Fantasy Age. We had a great time with this miniseries, and we have one more Green Ronin miniseries yet to come. This series was game mastered by Matt Gordon, with Amy Fry as Min, Luke McCormick as Erla, and me, Tal Aviaser, as Darv. This episode was edited by me, Tal Aviaser, and Matt Gordon. Some sound effects in the episode are courtesy of Describe. If you enjoy Podcast Party, please follow the show, rate us, and leave us a review. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a special episode of Power Word Talk, and in 4 weeks with episode 1 of Podcast Party Dragon Age.